So we'll start again. The Gemara in the bottom of Hamid Beis quotes at Tosefta, where Rav Shimon Gamliel is quoted as saying, "Neshtaim Shadonu, aimed it." So the question is that only that Tana's opinion and the other Tanaim disagree? Or should we assume that this represents the opinion of all the Tanaim? So Rabbi Abbo says on the first daf, and the Gemara repeats it again here, he says, "Lidibi Hakol, aimed it." Lidibi Hakol, Rashi explains that the other Tanaim do not disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. He says represents the opinion of all the Tanaim. And Shmuel says, not true. Rav Shimon Gamliel is the only one, and the other Tanoim disagree. And we pass him like the other Tanoim. So it's a machloikis, Shmuel and Rebbe Abbo. Where is the machloikis by Hadoas Valvois? By Zelus Machavavos, they all agree that you need Shloshes Smuch and Mishnaim Shadon, and he named him. But by Hadoas Valvois, that's the machloikis. But if in Derais, the Chadnami Kosher, so Shnaim Shadon will be the name Din, but the Yevit even Echad Shadon will be Dino Din. That was the Tosis on the bottom of Hamid Beis. Or should we assume, no, that that not only the Nishlosh is Smuchim by Gzelos Ahavolos, but not there, even Nishlosh is Smuchim by Hedoas Valvois, and Shnaim Shadon is ended in it. So that's the Machlekes in the Gemara. And yesterday we did, that we went towards the Machlekes out of Paschim. Taisvis and Gimel Amad Aleph thinks that we should Paschim like Shmuel. Even though Robert disagrees with Shmuel, the Hilchasik of Asroi, Mabai, Barabi Eloch, the Taisvis says, Barab Nachman sides with Shmuel, Hilchasik Ram Nachman Bedini. So that rule takes precedence. And the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach paskin like Rabbi Abbo. The Shnaim Shadonu, that not on the Taisis paskin like Shmuel. The Shnaim Shadonu the name Din. And the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach paskin like Rabbi Abbo. The Shnaim Shadonu is Ein Din. Okay. Ein Din. So here the Gemara is asking Akash, how can... We left off yesterday, Vavam, and all about 5-6 lines from the top. How can Rabbi Abbo say that the other Tanoim and the generally accepted opinion is, all the Tanoim agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that what? Shnaim Shadon is Ein Din. Doesn't this contradict the Mishnah Choris, where it appears, Belosh and Yoch, Adonis Adin, sounds like one person alone. One person alone ran a Din Torah, he was a Dayan. And he made a mistake, so it says, Mashal, the Psak is binding in Mishalami Beisai. So the Gemara says, don't you see from that Mishnah the fact that it's written in the singular, Donas Adin, that it's one person, the Chad Nami Kosher. So the Gemara says, maybe Hachmaskin and the Kiblu Alai. They'll Mekabal his Psak. The Gemara says, Mekabal his Psak. So whenever there's a Kabbalah, so isn't it implicit that Tola Yishalmu? If we agree that you should Paskin, that does not mean that if he makes a mistake, he's going to be Potter. So the Gemara says, no. They said, we'll only be Mekabal Adin if you don't make a mistake. They said, Dun Alon Adin Torah. So if he makes a mistake, they won't have a Mekabal. So he can't really prove anything from that Mishnah. So yesterday we were discussing, how do you translate the words of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, the Dayan has to make good, he has to pay from his pocket, if he's responsible for a hefsid that the Balvin made because of his error in Psak. So it says, whether it was an error of Psak and Adin Torah and Adin Mamnes, Zika Sachai B'chivas Hazak means when you have two parties, Reuven against Shimon, and he passed in favor of the wrong side. So then he's Chai Mitam, either if Nosman Nosman Yad is Chai Mitam Gazlan, Mazik, and if Nosman Nosman Yad is Chai Mitam Dinigami. But then it says the same is true regarding Timei Satohar V'Tiher Esatomi. So what's the hefset over there? Let the rabbi just call up the Balba, say I made a mistake, and the din is at a not kosher, din is at a dis kosher. So the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah means, Timei HaSatohar, he paskin that it's Tomei, and then they fed it to the dogs. Or he paskin that it's Treif, and then they fed it to the dogs. So it's gone now. And now the Rabbi Demonsach, he wakes up after it's already too late, and he calls up the Babosah, I made a mistake, it's really kosher, it's really Tohar. So the Babosah is too late. I already threw it out, I already incinerated it. It's gone already. So the Rabbi is responsible. Either the Rabbi himself fed it to the dogs, so that's Adama Mazik B'Yadai, or the rabbi passed him to the balabas. He may as well throw it, feed it to the dogs, because it's tamei, or because it's treifin, and you can't eat it anyway. So the balabas made the hezek to his own property, but it's the fault of the rabbi. That's dina digami. So that we would understand. How do you explain tiher es atomei? What hezek came out by tiher? He said fakir, that it's kosher. He said it's kosher, or it's tohor, as opposed to tamei. So what's the hezek? So the answer is, they told him Tiher es HaTomei, they told him it's Tohar, by mistake, and then the Balabas mixed it with other things, and now it turns out that it's Tomei, and it caused all the other things to become Tomei. So now the mixing in it with all the other things made a big hefset. If the rabbi himself mixed it in, that's another mamazik biadayin. And if the rabbi just taken for the balabas, he can mix it in with the regular food and everything will be tohar, nothing will be affected, then the rabbi is chai medina negami. So the problem was, why does it say masha osa osui? Covering the both cases together. Donas adin, masha osa osui in the din terabdini mamanis. Why is it masha osa osui? Why don't you just tell the other baldin, give the money back? The rabbi should say, I made a mistake, return the money. So Rashi explains a whole heavy explanation. You need a whole hesbro over here. Rashi writes, since the mistake that the dayan made was not a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, if the dayan made an obvious mistake, a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, the Torah B'dvar Mishnah is chayzer. He has to reverse the psak. And the baldin who won the first time cannot say, I don't want to surrender the money. He has to surrender the money. The rabbi says, I made a mistake B'dvar Mishnah. There's nothing to discuss. Rabbi calls up, he says, I made a mistake B'shikol Adas. What's a Shikol Adas? A matter of judgment. It's also a mistake. What's the Torah B'dvar Mishnah? No, the Gemara says, what a Shikol Adas is? Trei Tanoi, Trei Amoroi, the Pligi Adadi, either Machloikis HaTanoi, or Machloikis HaMoroi, wherever it happens to be. And V'lo Yit Mehilchus HaLoi Kemar V'lo Kemar, there is no clear cut psak, but the generally accepted opinion is Sugya and the Alma, the Mahalach HaOilam is, the way it usually goes is that they generally paskin like this opinion, and the rabbi paskin like the other opinion. So it's not really a mistake. It's really Eilu V'Eilu Divin Kim Chaim over here. Those who want to say like that, there's room to say like that. Those who want to say like this, there's room to say like this. This concept of Eilu V'Eilu Kim Chaim, that the Gemara has in the end of the first parak in Eretz, and Adaf Yud Gimel, the Gemara talks about Beisham and Bisilo, but the Rishonim applied in Ksubis, the Gemara applies it to other disputes as well, in one Gittin. And the Rishonim and Ksubis apply to other Machlokes as well. So this concept of Eilu V'Eilu Kim Chaim is not merely an abstract philosophical concept. It's very relevant halacha l'maisa. Sometimes we paskin dinim based on that assumption that Eilu V'Eilu Divinu Kim Chaim. So Rashi explains over here that Baldin de Nokat, hi Baldin de Nokat, the Baldin who was holding on to the money, who won the Din Torah the first time around, does not have to surrender the money to the other Leboy Lushlume. He doesn't have to surrender the money to the other Baldin. Even though the rabbi calls him up and says, I made a mistake, give back the money. Why? Because the Baldin tells the rabbi, Pasak the Lili Dinoi. You paskin the din in my favor, I hold like the first psak. What do you mean with the rabbi? What do you mean you hold like the first psak? I'm the rabbi, I'm the one that told you the psak. I made a mistake. Now that I look it up, I see that that's not the way it's normally accepted. That's not the accepted opinion. So the answer is no. Eilu Eilu Divi the Kim Chayim. And since the Baldin is holding on to the money, is a mukhzok. So he can only be moitzi mama from a mukhzok with a very strong raya limta, a moitzi machavera, all of a raya. He need a very good raya. So this is insufficient raya. This is the machloikis, and there are opinions who hold in my favor. There are those who hold that I'm right, that I have a right, like your first psak, that I have a right to continue holding on to the money. The generally accepted opinion is not so. So you're going to be moitzi the mama from me because of the generally accepted opinion. But there are legitimate opinions who hold not so. If it's a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, of Gepaskin, it mehilchus alahedye, it's always Gepaskin explicitly, like one Tana, like one Amora. So, although we do apply, like the Gemara has the Machlokes, and many Machlokes, Bisham and Bisilo, so the Gemara always passes what the din is. Ruba, the Ruba of the cases, the din is like Bisilo. And then in 24 instances, the Psak is like the Beishamai. So we know what the Psak is. Still, the Gemara says in a certain sense, that's Psak, a philosophical statement. That's not relevant halacha l'maisa. It is a little relevant halacha l'maisa. Eilu v'eilu on the Beisham and Beisilo, even though it's mehilchus alahedya, like the Beisilo and Ruba, the Ruba, the cases, like Beisham in the 24 cases, it is relevant halacha with respect to the following. If a person will spend time studying the Shitas Beishamai, so we won't consider that bitul Torah. If a person, let's say, somebody wrote a sefer on the Gemara, and we know that he's an Amhoritz, and everything he wrote is ridiculous. I think I mentioned there used to be a fellow in the Bronx. He used to shoot out one sefer after the other. I thought he was a balabas. Rabbi Chalap told me he was a rabbi. He was a rabbi from Europe. I was very young. I didn't remember. So I remember when I was a little boy, I used to read this sefer. I thought it was a joke. Ridiculous. Mom, is drawing the table? So I didn't realize this. Rabbi Chalap just showed me this rabbi who put out this sefer right on the first page, on the mamish on the first page, on the title page, on this first page. That's the name of the book, the author's name and his address. And then he writes on the first page, on the title page, he was going on the subway, and the Nochrim, the Goyim, saw him with the long papers in the beard, and they came over, they bopped him over the head, and they beat him up. and he forgot all of his learning. So whoever reads this book should realize that he doesn't know anything. That's what I thought. I never read that on the first page. He writes, whoever reads, so Rabbi Chalap explains, why did he print that on the first page? Because he writes, he attacks big Rabbanim in his sefer. So he gives you the teretz on the first page. I don't know anything. You can't blame me for anything. I forgot all of my learning. Then on the first page of the second book, he writes, I also never read it. On the first page he writes, and since then, when they popped me over the head, I got hardening of the arteries, and now I forgot even more. So now mom is on the one. So let's say, when you read such a book, it's not a joke, I'll be honest. You know in advance that what he says is no good. He sees in Amoris, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So you don't get schar for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's a joke book. That's not a sefer that's not the real Kim Chai. That's drawn by table. So one might think that if you're going to discuss Shitas Beishamai when they're not accepted, or Shitas Beisil when their opinion is not accepted, maybe that'll constitute Bitul Torah. So that's what the Gemara says, no, Elo V'Elo Dibili Kim Chayim, one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you learn Beishamai Shita. That doesn't constitute Bitul Torah. But the additional halachas that are based on this principle of Elo V'Elo Dibili Kim Chayim, that b'shas hatzchak, sometimes we have the right to rely on the shita that's not accepted, or that it constitutes a midas chasidus to be machmer for the shita that's not accepted. Or whenever it's in hilchas aveilas, halachik deram mekel ba'ovo, whenever it's an issue of arla b'chutzlor, so then you say also, kolam mekel baros halachik amasa b'chutzlor, because any sofik koldehu, you have a right to be mekel. All of these nafkiminas are over here, amoytza machaver, all of araya. So all of these nafkaminas would not apply whenever it's itme hilchus lehedya. That's how the Gemara says. When it's loyit me hilchus lo kemar. It's not up to pasuk and just sugi the almas like that. So then, if it's loyit me hilchus, then we apply the principle of David even the Kim Chayim to a much greater extent than in the original case of the Beisham and the Beisilo. So there it is, itme hilchus lehedya. So that's what Rashi explains over here. If it's a toya bit. The shikol adat means it's loyet mehilchus alehedya. So we say elu v'elu dibur kim chaim. So the balvin who won the first time around and was holding on to the money in his hand, hi balvin did not get. He's holding on to the money in his hand. He's the muchzok. So the klal is hamoytzim machavera all of her raya. With hey idea, you need a superior raya. You can't be moitzim mamon based on a raiv. So then also you cannot be moitzim mamon based on a sugin di alma. The first time around, the rabbi paskin in my favor. So I'm a muchzuk on the money. Now the rabbi says he made a mistake because the sug in the alma is not so. No. So the baldin says, I am the muchzuk on the money. I don't want to have the right to say. I don't want to surrender the money. So that we understand. Masha osu osui. That's what it means. Masha osu osui. The psak remains. The dayan has to make good from his pocket because he knows in his heart he's his mazikin. He knows in his heart that he paskin wrong. But Masha Asa Asa, the Baldina won the first time, has the right to say, I'm the Mukhsuk. But how can you apply that to Timiyas HaTohar, Tiyares HaTomi? What do you mean Masha Asa Asa over there? So there Masha Asa Asa means something else. Timiyas HaTohar, Behechilu L'Klovim. Well, they threw it out, they incinerated already. Or Tiyares HaTomi, V'Irvan in Peirosov, the Gemara says later. And Daf Lamed Gimel, when they quote this Mishnah, so they explain. Tiyares HaTomi, it's not good, so but then Irvan in Peirosov. Then the rabbi reverses the psak and says it's tameh. So it comes out that the tameh digger food was metameh everything, or the tameh digger pot was metameh everything. So then it comes out, Masha Asa Asri, he made him a hezek. So it's a different usage of the expression Masha Asa Asri. By the first half of the Mishnah, they didn't tere cases where the baldin who won the first time holds on to the money and he says, I'm muchzok. Yeah, Masha Asa is a halachic statement. The Baldin has who's muksak, based on the first psak, has the right to say, Kimli ka psak arishan. Pasakhtali binoi. In the second two cases, Tima Satar, Tira Satame, it doesn't mean Masha Asa, there's no concept of muksakis in Tuma Vitar and Isavaheta. So what does it mean, Masha Asa? If he fixed his wagon, if it turned out that Obgitana Maisa, that he suffered a loss, Masha Asa is not a halachic statement. It's a condition. If Masha Asa, if the psak is irreversible, because kvar hachilu leklovim, or kvar irvin and peirosev, then mishalim beisim. So how do you make a statement Masha Asa on two cases, and it means a totally different meaning? In the second case, Masha Asa means if if the psak is irreversible, then mishalim beisam. The first case, by the din Torah, by the din mamas, doesn't mean if the psak is irreversible. It means the psak is irreversible. It's a statement of a din. The psak cannot be reversed. Because the Baal Din is muksut from the first time around, has the right to say, I want to leave it like that. And in the second case, it doesn't mean you have a right to say, I don't accept. No one has a right to say. It means if the psak is irreversible, then so how does it read straight? So that's the Ran is bothered with that. The Ran doesn't like this reading. So the Ran quotes the Rabbi Nadav, he gave a whole different shot. Yeah. Again, if is who? I don't think so. No. That's the din of muksak. Whenever you have muksak on a selfish moment, so he has the right to keep the money. Even the din of shaman doesn't. He should have told the rabbi who made the mistake from the very beginning. He should have said. I don't know. He should have, if he knows the din, he should have told the rabbi right away when he gave the first psak, that he should have helped the rabbi in paskening. You have to paskin against me because that's the sugya yalam. But if he didn't tell him, and then later on he realizes that, then even if he's a talmid chacham, he has the right to keep the money. He moves it. So this is the problem. The expression mashal also has a totally different usage, and the din Torah means a statement of a din. The Baal Din, whose muksak has the right to say, I don't accept the reversal of the psak. I still stick with the first psak. And the second case, Masha'a Sasha, means if the psak is irreversible, then Shalom Beis. And the first case, it means the psak is irreversible, not if it's irreversible. How does it read? So the Ran says, in the name of Rabbeinu Dovid, the Talmud of the Ramban, Shmeri Pshat, he says, you have to say, Masha'a Sasha means that. Even by the Tihar HaSatami, the psak is irreversible. What do you mean the psak is irreversible? It's ridiculous. Who's Mukhlik over here? So he says no. If the Dayan, not a Dayan, there's no Dina Mam in this issue. If the local Orthodox rabbi whom they asked, the Shaivatar is a kosher trade, so the rabbi says to the Balabas, it's kosher. It's kosher, wait, a whole meal. It's $50 worth of food that they cooked, and the shaila is a kosher train. The rabbi says everything is kosher. So the balbos can relax. His $50 is not going down the drain. So then the Rabbi Nadovid, then when the rabbi wants to reverse the psak, so the Rabbi Nadovid says, so let the rabbi just call up the balbos and tell him, I made a mistake, it's all trade. You have to throw it out. Finish. So he says, no. The balabas is muksuk on the $50 worth of food. Now the muksuk doesn't help that the food should become kosher. Muksuk only helps if there's an issue of dini mamon. The food is treif. The rabbi calls him up, he says, I made a mistake, the food is treif. So the balabas is not allowed to eat it. But the balabas has a right to say, I want to stick to the original psak. You said that my $50 meal is kosher, and now you're taking away my $50 meal. Now you're reversing the psak, rabbi. Your mafsid me $50. I want you to pay me $50. So even though the psak is reversible, of course the psak is reversible. The rabbi calls him up, he says, did anybody eat the food yet? He says, no, it's for tomorrow night, Shever Brothers, not for tonight. No one ate the food yet. So the rabbi's calmed down. He says, okay, I made a mistake. It's all trade. You're not allowed to eat it. There was a shita that is kosher, and I thought that was the accepted shita. It comes out that that's not the generally accepted malach. Most of the possible hold that is trade. So the Baal Bos says, but yesterday, Rabbi, you passed me that it was kosher, and you gave me $50. It comes out you saved me $50, and now you're taking away the $50 because you're deciding you want to reverse the stock. I'm not going to eat the food. Look, Rabbi, I'm Orthodox. You say it's not kosher. Not kosher, but you've got to pay me because your mazik gave me
$50.
What
else did he do?
He didn't mix anything. We learned like this. If it's Masha Asa, if the psak, if the erroneous psak cannot be reversed because he said it's trace, the hechilul the clothing, they already fed it to the dogs. Then the rabbi calls up after they fed it to the dogs. Baal Bos says, too late. I already fed it to the dogs. I already threw it in the incinerator. So then the rabbi has to pay. The Ran says, no, and name it Rabbi Nadavin, and he likes this pshat. Iran approved of this.
He's still hearing saying he's not him to
to the Rav that we can.
Balabas does not know. Balabas does not have a learn. He doesn't know which way to hold the earth.
Much of that is still different. Here,
no, but it says like this. Masha also, also means the psak cannot be reversed because mukhza. The mukhza says, I hold with the first psak. In the first half of the case, where it's dine Torah, mamanis, Reuven, and Shimon, so the one who's holding on to the money, as Rashi says, hi, baldin, denokis, the one who's holding on to the money is mukhza, and he says, I stick to the first psak, I'm not going to surrender the money. Here, the balabas, the caterer, who has the $50 worth of food, or the balabas that has the food, so the Ran says, as far as Isa the Hester is concerned, of course not allowed to eat the food. The rabbi called up and said, made a mistake. He made a mistake. So in Isa the Hester, there is no concept of Musa. But vis-a-vis the dini mominous aspect of this issue, the caterer says, I'm the Musa. What do you mean I'm the Musa? Yesterday you told me that it's kosher, so you awarded me $50 worth of kosher food. Today, Rabbi, you've taken away my $50 worth of food, and there is a sheet who holds that it is kosher. So I'm going to have to let you take away my food. I'm going to throw it out to feed it to the dogs and throw it into the incinerator. But you have to pay me $50 because I'm mukhzak on the $50.
There is a sheet that
held that it was kosher. Same as before. Yeah, but it's a wild chat that the rabbi has to pay $50. Even though he didn't cause any hefsid. I mean, he said, yesterday the rabbi made a mistake, he said it's kosher. Today he calls him up and says it's treif. So they're not allowed to eat it. Finished.
So what's the shot? What is this shot that we can make the parallel would be that in the case of Dina Mamanis, if he gives it back, he can then take money from the diet? If he says, I'm going to give him that, I'm giving it back, but now you
can. Same thing?
That would be the.
Same thing. That is absolutely the din. Because the Baldin who won the din Torah the first time doesn't have to surrender the money. But the other Baldin is losing to the Allah and says the Dayan has to pay from his pocket because he's a mazik. So if the Baldin is nice enough to return the money, he says, I'll give back the money, but you've got to reimburse me. So that's the same thing. That's exactly the same. What's the difference whether the Baldin keeps the money and the Dayan pays from his pocket or the Baldin returns the money and the Dayan pays him his money? That's the exact same thing. So that I understand.
That I understand.
That's why Rashi said, yeah, no chidush nishma. That I understand. Because the Baldin who won the first time, there was a debate between Reuven and Shimon. There was a din Torah that whoever won the first time and is holding out to the money is mukhzak. That I understand. A mukhzak has a right to say kimli, because I'm mute. So he says, I hold like the original psalm. That I understand. But to say over here, what do you mean mukhzak? What is there? There is a court case between the Dayan and the caterer? Between the Dayan and the Balabasta who cooked the food? What kind of mukhzak? When mukhzak is that? Mukhzak is when there's a debate in Mamanism. Am I entitled, you entitled? The rabbi doesn't claim he's entitled to anything over here. The rabbi gave a psak, it's kosher. So it's worth $50. The food is kosher, worth $50, worth $1,000, whatever it is. Then the rabbi calls him up and says, I have to reverse the psak. I made a mistake. I looked around, I asked around. Nobody passes like that. There is such an opinion. That's not the accepted opinion. Nobody passes like that. So the Baldin says, I'm going to go along, Rabbi. You say it's treif, I'm Orthodox, I'm not going to eat it. But since you're taking away the $50 from me, so you have to pay me $50. Well, what kind of move is that? Very strange pshat. And the Ran likes it. I would already suffer the doichik of the previous pshat. This is wild. But he says he can't swallow that. How can you read the line? Masha asa asa with two different meanings. And if regarding the third means the psak may not be reversed. And on the second case, by kashrus and by tum of atar means if the psak cannot be reversed, then mishalom the base. Not necessarily. It's a difficult Rabbeinu David. Maybe that's what he means. Okay, I find that also very difficult. Okay, maybe that's what he means. That could well be what he says. That when a dying pot constrains, it becomes straight. We can't allow both. when he says kosher, it is kosher. When he says straight, it becomes straight. Okay, so when he issues the second sack, he's in a lot of mamazik. Okay, that's a big chiddush. Rabbi Nadav is saying some kind of a big chiddush over here.
Right.
Very big chiddush, yeah.
Is this in the first case also, where it's rather being one of these into the sign of the mamazik? Or is it just he is the sixth of din that he made wrong?
He's in a lot of mamazik.
Yeah,
yeah. If not some in Asim B'yad, then he's a gazlan. Is a gazlan b'shoigeg? It doesn't make a difference. A gazlan is not only, let's say, Robin Hood steals from the rich and he gives to the poor. It's also a gazlan. Gazlan is not only if I steal from myself. If I steal from you and I give it to someone else, also a gazlan. And even though I thought mistakenly that he's entitled to the money, so I said, I gave a psak that you have to pay him. I said, give me the money, I'll hand it over. So even though it was an error, and even though I'm not stealing for myself, and I thought that was the din, at the end of the day, when I find out that I made a mistake, so it comes out I was a gazlan b'shoigeg. So I'm trying to pay. So if not someone else in the yard, he's a gazlan. If it's not someone else in the yard, it's indeed in the gami. So he's a mazik. Wow, what an original shot. Very difficult shot, huh?
You can't say
Kimli, right? Somebody has a star of a trade, so. No. On Yisra, they had, so it's not just to say Kimli. So the Rabbeinu David says, but on the Mominist aspect, Shabbat, the Balabasim say Kimli. What is the Mominist aspect? The case between the Dayan and the Balabas. Where's the case between Dayan and Balabas? There is no confrontation over here. He asked the Shaila, the rabbi made a mistake. He called him up and said, I made a mistake. So how can you apply Kimli? Very strange. Anyway, Nachama, what did the Gemara say? This whole halacha that the Baldin who won the dintera the first time, the Baldin who won the first time does not have to surrender the money. So the Gemara said that's only if the mistake was ator b'shikol adas. But if it's a mistake toibid v'amishna, then it's simply chayzer. The Gemara later has a different distinction between how bad the mistake was. There is a there is an institution of Parhal and Davishal Tzibur that we were talking about yesterday and 2 days ago. Parhal and Davishal Tzibur means that the Bezdin HaGadol issues a Psak Lehokel in error. And the Psak Lehokel was in one of the, in the area of one of the Chavi Krisis. Either that there's a certain act of Chilul Shabbos, they say it's Mutter, a certain Chelev is Mutter, a certain Dam is Mutter, you're allowed to eat certain things on Yom Kippur, something, or certain things come to the Pesach. And then they realize that they made a mistake, and it turns out all the people were violating an aver sheyesh bo koras because of the epsah. So they bring the parham davar shel tzibur. So the Gemara says this halacha that the Bez Nagadol brings the parham davar shel tzibur is only if they gave a hayro, only if they paskined an error. They realize later that the psak was an error. So when do you consider the psak of psak an error, and when do you say yeah the stam didn't know what they were talking about? That's not even called the psak an error. So the Gemara in Hirius in the first parak draws a distinction between how serious the mistake was. So the Gemara doesn't say a difference between Torah Dvar Mishnah as opposed to Torah Shikul Adas. The Gemara says if it's Torah B'Dovashat Dukim Modimbo, Torah B'Dovashat Dukim Modimbo, that's not called a psak at all. The Tzedukim didn't accept the Torah Shabbat Pesach, so they only followed Torah Shabbat Pesach. So what if the Bez Nagadol gave a psak? That's contradictory to Pasuk and Chumash. They said, Yom Kippur, that's the 12th of Tishrei. So everybody eats on the 10th of Tishrei. They say, tomorrow is Yom Kippur. 2 days from today is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is after Sukkot, not before. Then they reverse the Pesach. They say, we made a mistake. It says in Chumash not. So that's not called a Hayro. It's called Stam Dorm Teilim Yom. If you made a mistake, Tov B'Dovah Shatzdukim Mondabo, something that says in Chumash, so that's not called a Hayro. Hayro is only in the area of Torah Shabbat 10. But it's Dabash Einat Dukim Modim, but if it's not explicit in Torah Shabbat Chzav, it's something in Torah Shabbat 10, so that's called a Hayro B'Tos. But there's no Hayro if it's on Torah Shabbat Chzav. So the Gemara has that here, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. The Gemara uses that distinction with respect to a din here in Sanhedrin. That the Mishnah says, in din in Nefashis, one of the ten chilukim shebei mominus l'nefashis is machzirin l'schus vei machzirin l'choiva. Let's say the first time around the Bezna of 23 is judging an individual regarding dinim nefashis, so they acquitted him. He said he's pata. And then he goes home. He throws a party. And then the Bezna realizes, hey, we made a mistake. We thought that Mechal Shabbos is, you don't give him shishi anymore. We never knew that Machal Shabbos gets Misa. They made a mistake, but Dovashat Bidumodimbo. So then the Gemara says, if the Psak was an error, and the error was so serious that it's Tov, Dovashat Bidumodimbo, so that's not called the Hairoi Bitois. So that's not called. In that case, he wouldn't apply the Klal Emachzir on the Chayva. He wouldn't say he's Yotzim Ibezin Zakai, since they passed in the Hakel. So you can't double jeopardy. You can't judge him again and pass him that is Chayv. He said the first psak that they made was a mistake. It was simply a psak, and error doesn't count at all. But if the mistake in Halacha that they made was Tov Dov She'en Atzdukin Modem Bo, an error, it was a terrible error. It was a Toy Bedvar Mishnah, an Ofen Adin. But it's not an Ofen Adin, a Chumash. It's only an Ofen Adin in Torah Shebal Peh. But then we say it is called Hayroah B'Toyz has a shame Hayroah. So with respect, it's a different difference. It more distinguishes between various mistakes. If it's too great a mistake, then it's not called Apsak at all. And if it's a lesser degree mistake, then it is called the Psak in error. It's called the Psak in error. So in these two cases, with respect to Pahran Davashal Tzibur, with respect to Yotzim and Bezin Zakah, Emachzir Noisa, that's the Klal of double jeopardy. So then the Gemara says the Klal is that it depends on Tob Davashal Tzdukim Modenbo, as opposed to Tob Davashain Tzdukim Modenbo. And here, with respect to Dini Mominis, here we're discussing when does the Baldin who won the Dintar the first time, and he's muksak on the moment, in which cases does he have the right to say, I want to stick with the first psak. So just because if it's tov, Dovashat Tzdukin Modem, if the first psak was against the passing of Chumash, they said, what do you mean his behemoth was mazik? Why do you hold him responsible for Nizkei Behemto? Only Otama Mazik is chayv. No such thing as Nizkei Behemto. That's against the Chumash. It says, Shor Bar Ma Behemet, the psukim in the Chumash. And that for sure is Mamisha Toys. That's not called the Hoyroa B'Toys. That's Tam Gitlapo. But even if they made a mistake in something less severe, even if the mistake was a mistake in Torah Shabbat Peh, no psukim at all. But if it's a Toy B'Dvar Mishneh, and often it did, no machloikis. Or it's there's a machloikis hatanam amran, ve'it mehilchus elehed, you're up to passing what the din is. That's also called a Toy B'Dvar Mishneh. It's a Toy B'Dvar Mishneh is chayzer. Toy B'Dvar Mishneh is chayzer. And the Balabas who won the first time cannot say, Kim li kidas hamiyut. I hold like the first psalm. No. It's itma hilchus in the head. You're up to paskin gemara. Finished. So you can't hold like the first psak. Only in this rare case that you have a machlokes v'lo yitma hilchus in the head. It's never nifsak lehedya. But the sugin the alma, the generally accepted opinion is like this. So then the baldin has the right, because here we're not discussing when is it called the haroi b'toyz and when is it called sam dvar mitevah. That's not the issue. The issue over here is, does the Baldin, who is Muchsof, based on the first Psak, does he have a right to say Kimli? The different issue. Does he have a right to say Kimli? So he only has a right to say Kimli because of his Muchzokas, if it's Toy B'Shikal Adar. But even if it's Toy B'Dvar Mishnah, which is Dov She'enat Zdukim Odom, he cannot say Kimli. It's clearly a mistake, he can't say Kimli. Tosis in quite a few mesichtes writes based on a Kabbalah from the Gaonim, a tradition from the days of the Gaonim. What is an example of sugyan diyam aliba dechad minayu? What is an example of that? Let's say Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes, and the Talmud Chacham looks in the Shulchan Aruch and he gives the psak, and then he starts asking around. He after gave the psak and he finds out that nobody passes like that. So it's true. In Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions, but the generally accepted opinion is Lahakim. The generally accepted opinion is Lahakma, whatever it is. So that's called Sugin the Yama Liba de Chadminah. But Taisus has a tradition from the Gaon. There's another kind of Sugin the Yama that goes as follows. The Gemara will often have like this. It's coming up Mamash on this daf on Vav Unam. Gemara has a Machloik de Satanayim, and it's unclear what they're fighting about. So the Gemara says, oh, it must be Machloik by the A or B. Here the Gemara says they all hold Makshinim Pshor the Din, and Machlok is whether Din be Chad Nami Kosher or you need Shloisha. Then the Gemara says no, maybe Kuli Alma, everybody holds you need Shloisha, but the Machlok says whether Makshinim Pshor the Din, Eloi Makshinim Pshor the Din. The Gemara has a lot of times like that. The Gemara has an obscure Machlok at times. It's clear what they're fighting, what the Din is that they're fighting about, but it's unclear what the rationale is. The Gemara says it may be Machlok is A or B, or Kuli Alma, everybody agrees A, but it's Machlok is C or B. Or could be no. Everybody agrees that it's Diyas Machlokes by the ERF. Sometimes go even further, more than that. So Tosfos has from the Gaonim like this: if the Gemara says Machlokes A or B, everybody agrees that it's A, and the argument is C or D. When the Gemara says Iboyseim, everybody agrees A. If they could have just as well said the Kuli Alma, everybody holds B, and if Machlokes by the C or D, and the Gemara chose to say. Sometimes the Gemara can't go to the next step. You can't say it's Machlokes C or D. If everybody holds B, there's nothing to have a Machlokes about. There's no room for argument. If you say Kuli Alma, everybody holds A, then you can say, is it C or D? But if you're going to say everybody holds B, that's the end of the story. You can't go any further. So that's not called the Sugya in the Alma. That doesn't show which way, what the tendency of the Gemara is. But if the Gemara could have just as well said the Kuli Alma B, and the argument is whether C or D, and they chose to say Kuli Alma A, why did they choose to write Kuli Alma, Iboyseima, everybody holds A, and the Machlek is C or D? They could have just said Iboyseima, they argue whether C or D. Why'd they have to say Iboyseima, everybody holds A? So Tosfos quotes that from the Gaonim, that's called the Sugya in the Alma. So every so often Tosfos will get involved in such a whole discussion. Could the Gemara have said Kuli Alma holds B, and it's still a Machlek is C or D? Could they not have said that? If they would have said everybody agrees B, that would be the end of the discussion. You couldn't go to the next step. If they couldn't have said Kuli Alma B, then it's not a Sugya in the Alma. And if they could have just as well said Kuli Alma B, so what do they have to say Kuli Alma A? They should have just said Iboyseima Machlek is with the C or D. So that's called the Sugya in the Alma. Every other Mesichta, Tosfos, every 100 document shots, Tosfos has such a Tosfos. And they're working out whether they could have gotten to the next step without the first step. That's one example of the Sugya in the Alma. That indicates, from the way the Gemara wrote it, which is the generally accepted opinion. The Poskim say this klal that the Gemara has, if it's it mehilchas elehedya, then all of the nafkaminas fall away. We said before that elebele de the kam chayim is a philosophical statement. And then it has nafkaminas ledina. So the first nafkamina ledina is that if one studies beshamashitas, it doesn't constitute Bittul Torah, it's considered a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Even though you know in advance that you don't pass like that. If you read a book that's all wrong, the guy has hardening over the artery, he's bopped him over the head, doesn't know what he's talking about. Doesn't know what he's talking about. So it's Dvar Mitam, it's good for entertainment. Okay, so if you want to have fun. But that's not Talmud Torah. That's not Talmud Torah. But when you study Beishamash, you say, you know in advance, we're not going to pass like Beisham. But that's not Dvar Mitam. They're entitled to their opinion. That's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But what about the other nafkaminas? So the other nafkaminas, the person say, the other nafkaminas based lahalacha, the other nafkaminas ledina, based on the principle of elu v'yevu divi l'kim chayim, only apply when it's lo yit mehilchus lehedi. When it's it mehilchus lehedi, it doesn't apply. Take for example, the halacha kolam, whenever you have a machloikis regarding or law, so even if the majority opinion is lahachmir, but there is a minority opinion lahakol, so we have a rule kolam mekol ba'aretz, if there's a kuler. If there's a miut opinion, lahakal in Eretz Yisrael, the orla b'chutz lo, it's only aloch l'moshe misinai, so any suffik called the who, you have a right to be mekel. Even more than suffik the rabban l'kula. It's not because orla b'chutz lo, it's the rabban. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. In Kiddushim, the orla b'chutz lo, it's the rabban and orta aloch l'moshe misinai. The Mishnah is not clear. The Mishnah says, orla b'chutz lo, it's mei halocha. So the Gemara is not sure whether halocha means halocha l'moshe misinai, because it doesn't say that, it just says halocha. Or it means Mehilchus Medina, which means that it's only the Rabbanim. But it's clearly not in Chumash. In Chumash it talks about Tisabaya al Ha'aretz and Atakim Kolech Mach on the Parshas Kedoshim. So Chumash it only talks about Orla Be'eretz Yisrael, if you plant a tree or a bush. So the peiros that grow, the first 3 years, have a din of Orla. So in Chumash it only talks about Eretz Yisrael. So Orla B'chutz La'aretz is not Torah Shebichzav, it's Mehalocha. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, where they mean Mide Rabbanim, Mehilchus Medina. But whatever it is, the Gemara says any suffik called who is lahakel, even more so than suffik the rabban lekula. We say suffik or lebuchutz lo'etz lahakel, even in cases where you wouldn't say suffik the rabban lekula. Let's say it's a suffik shepshel levar bekal. I can easily ascertain what the facts are with one telephone call, not in a telephone call. I'm buying peaches in the store. I'm buying peaches not in the store, on the farm. I'm buying fruits on the farm, and I can easily ask the farmer which tree did they grow on? Every tree has a date on it, has a plaque, and it says when the tree was planted. And some of the trees were planted within the last 3 years, and some of them were planted in Shan Kadmonir. So I can easily ask the farmer, which tree did it come from? Or I can check myself. This size peach, which tree does it look like it came from? So the Mishnah says you don't have to ask. You can go and shop with your eyes closed. You don't have to ask any questions. Even though that doesn't qualify as a suffix derabbanu kula, a suffix shefshel levar bekal, you can easily ascertain what the facts of the case are. You have no right to be makel based on suffix derabbanu kula. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says the Feirish that this is enough of a suffix to be makel on arla b'chutzlah. The more suffix arla b'chutzlah is lahakel any suffix kolgo, any slight suffix. That's how they run right on the wrist in the end of the first parakeet kedushin. Any slight suffix kolgo. So that's why the Gemara considers a machlokes hatanaim, a machlokes haposkim, even though the robe of the poskim hold lahachmir, but as long as there's an inerrant, so we would be machmir because Yachavir Rabin, Alochik Rabin, we go lechumre. But in Chutzlars, we would consider the fact that there exists a minority opinion, we would consider that as a suffix kolder. So the question is, what if you have a machlokes, Rabin, Rabin, and a miyut, and it's itme hilchus alegya? Gemara says the hilchus we pass can like the majority opinion. That's dumb. That's ongenum and that's the psak because that's the majority. Gemara says the ferish the din is like the majority. Halacha kechachamim. So then the pischik shuvah and yeriday and hilchus orla quotes the earlier akronim and said you can't apply the klal kol amekel b'atz halacha gemara b'chutzlars. Whenever it's itme hilchus alahedyo, so the Gemara said the ferish that has the status like a toy b'dvar mishnah. So you wouldn't apply all the other nachkaminas of la'alocha, ve'el v'el 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 v'kim chayim, they wouldn't apply. Or Moshe Feinstein has like that. Moshe says, benegetu, it constitutes a midas chassidus to be machmer for the shittas hayochid. Even though we don't pass like that, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Beitzah, that Rabbi Gamliel's home used to be machmer like the Beis Shammai, and different Rishonim and Achraim like that. There's a midas chassidus to be machmer for the shittas you don't pass like. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the Sefer, that's only if it's not Itka Hilchus Alehedya. What if it's Obki Paskin, the Feirish in the Gemara? So then it doesn't constitute Amiris Chassidus at all. Rav Moshe has this in a tshuva about writing a tshuva by hand. Usually, most years ago, no one wrote the whole tshuva by hand. They had a printed tshuva in America in the last 100 years. You had a printed ksuba, you fill in the date and the name and the place and shape. So that's where Moshe Feinstein used to. Moshe used to come on time to all the weddings and he used to fill out the ksuba. And then there was a prominent rabbi, Rabbi Blazer Silver, so when he would come, that's what they told me, he would get up in public and rip up Moshe's ksuba and make a whole big fuss about it and say that there's an opinion in the Mishnah Rav Yehuda, in the Mishnah Gittin, you have to write the whole, just like you have to write a get l'shma, so you have to write all the other stories l'shma. And the Gemara says, but I'm passing like Rav Yehuda. So he would rip up the ksuba. And he would rewrite the whole ksuba by hand. The choshes for that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But they told me Rav Moshe never said a word. He just sat there and didn't react. But Rav Moshe printed his shadows a tshuva. So he has a tshuva in Ebenezer. He writes about this. He says it doesn't constitute a midas chassidus even to be machva for the shita sayochan. It's if mehilchus alehedya. Up ke paskin the gemara said beferish. We don't pask like Rabbi Yehuda. So it doesn't do all of these nafkaminas, the alalocha that are based on Eber Yehuda, divi kim chayim. Don't apply. The only one that still applies, even though itva hilchus alehedya, is that it constitutes Talmud Torah. That if you learn Beishamai Shita, it's not called Bikul Torah. Even though the Gemara says Beferish Beishamai B'makam Yisil Eina Mishnah, we don't pass them like Beishamai at all. But nonetheless, it constitutes a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But the Gemara says you wouldn't apply the klal kalamekel baretz aloch kamosa b'chutzlar. That's the Gemara in Brachas Daflam and Rav. You wouldn't say kalamekel baretz if the mekel is Beishamai. Not because it's itva hilchus alehedya. Connected Beis Shammai. That's what the Pasuk say. Why does the Gemara have such a statement? Beis Shammai b'makom mitzil eina mishnah. You totally ignore Beis Shammai shita and you don't apply the klal kalamek baratz alach nimosa b'chutzlar. So the Pesachit Shuva in Reish Tzad Gimel, I think, and the simon about the orlov is manazeh. So the Pesachit Shuva quotes the Achrayim and they say it's not because there's something unique about Beis Shammai mitzil. No, because it's itme hilchus alehedya. Connected Beis Shammai. They voted and they passed in their halacha against Beis Shammai. So it's the same as it says in Agamar. Whenever it's itme hilchus alehedya, that has the status of a Torah b'dvar Mishnah. So then all of these nafkaminas that are based on Eilu Yerzir B'Kim Chaim do not apply. Fine, so we have this machlokes amora. We have again the Tosefta quotes of Shimon ben Gamliel. He says shnayim shedanu endin endin. And the question was raised in the days of the Amorayim, is that only Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, or does everybody agree to that? So that's the machlokes Rabbi Abbahu and Shmuel. So now the Gemara says, Levi kekanot. Should I say that this machlokes between Rabbi Abbahu and Shmuel is exactly the machlokes whether what? Whether a dintere of Haidos Malbos requires Shlosh is smuchim in atayra, or mederaisa chad nami kosher. The meila where the shnayim shadon is named in, or ain't named in. So the Gemara says, should I say that this machlokes, where you need three mikra din, you need three or one for a din Torah of haydos malvoz, isn't that the machlokes hatanayim, whether bitzua b'shloisha or bitzua b'yochid? Bitzua means a pshara. What is a pshara? So we discussed a little bit. A pshara doesn't mean a compromise. And it doesn't just mean arbitration. To arbitrate between the two people so you see who's more powerful and who screams louder and so on. Pshara is a psak of lefni mishuras adin. Instead of paskin what the din says, you paskin what the yosha dictates. Sometimes yosha dictates lefni mishuras adin. Lefni mishuras adin. And it says in the tour, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch also, that just like there's a prohibition of hatoyas mishpat, Losata Mishpat, if they're trying to determine what the Chayshim Mishpat says, so too there's a prohibition of Hatayas Mishpat if they're trying to determine what Yosha dictates. So I say, I know in my heart that Yosha dictates in favor of Reuven, but I say falsely, in a pshara, they want a pshara, so I say in favor of Shimon. So I'm in violation of Losata Mishpat. I bet it's not a din Torah of Mishpat. How can it be Losata Mishpat? The answer is no. There are two kinds of din Torah. There's a din Torah of din, and there's a din Torah of Lifni Mishuras Adin. Now, this the Gemara makes very clear, you cannot force the person into a pshar. If he doesn't want, you can't force. You can't force either party, not the taver, not the nitva. You can only, bezin can only do a pshar if the both parties agree. And you can't twist his arm either. You can't fool him into accepting a pshar. It has to be b'lev shalom. It has to be out of the goodness of his heart. This is a problem. Why is that so? The Gemara in Bava Metzia, I think Daf Lamed, learns that from a pasuk. So the Gemara learns that in that pasuk that you have to go lifni mishuras adin. So just like if a person doesn't want to sit in sukkah, so the Gemara says in ksubis and daf peivav, you beat him up, you force him. He doesn't want to eat matzah, he doesn't want to hear kiyas shofar, he doesn't want to do a mitzvah. So what he does want to give his wife a get. So sometimes the din says you beat him up till he gives his wife a get. So if there is a requirement to go lefni mishuras adin, so why shouldn't you be koyfa on that? That's also, some Rishonim count it as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Most of them do not. But some of the Rishonim count this as one of the 613 mitzvahs. As Adech HaShe'elchubo goes on the lefni mishuras adin. So let it be a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. So in that simon of Shor, simon Yud Beis, the Ramah quotes a machlokes of Rishonim. Does Bezna have the right to be koyfa? I'm sure, for sure, they have no right to be koyfa. That's understood in the Gemara. You can't be koyfa, I'm sure. But can you be koyfa in other cases? Can you be koyfa on lefni mishuras adin? So the Ramah has a machlokes. So the pashtus is that we assume that not, you cannot be koyfa. And that's the reason why the Bezna cannot be koyfa on pshara. Because pshara is really lefni mishuras adin. The din says that he doesn't have to pay. And Yosha dictates that he should go lefni mishuras adin. So the pashtus is that's what we assume Bezna is not koyfa lefni mishuras adin. And that's the reason why you can't force a pshar. Why are you talking not koyfa lefni mishuras adin? Why should that be so? That's usually explained. It's explained as follows. If the fellow does want to eat matzah, and you beat him up till he eats the matzah, so sofko sof, he ate the matzah. Ah, he's crying and he's cursing and he's angry and he's kicking. But he ate the matzah, and he knows that it's a mitzvah. So he's going to the mitzvah. He doesn't want to sit in the sukkah. It's hot, it's cold, whatever. We tell him, you sit in the sukkah. If you know what's good for you, you sit in the sukkah. He's angry, he's complaining the whole time. But Lamaisa, he ate in the sukkah. He sat in the sukkah. He listened to the kids. Lamaisa, he sat. But over here, the to do lishni mishuras sadin means to do benedivas alev. So the guy's going to be angry. He's so angry. He's cursing the Dayanim. He's cursing the Baldin. And he makes out the check and he gives him, and he's grumbling under. He's not getting anything. If you force him to go, if Nim Shur Sadin, and he does it begrudgingly, so he's not even getting anything. So you have no right to beat a person up, to pressure him, to force him into doing something if the thing that he's going to do will not be a keima, it's that meant usually assumed.
You have connect, you have dim. Otherwise,
dim
would fall away. Normally, by
matzah,
you don't have
no alternative. I mean, by definition, you can't be kaifa on nifnei mishuras adin because you have dim, you have alternative. So, must be you want to kaifa on dim, you can't be kaifa on nifnei mishuras adin. Okay. Whatever the hesber is, that's the accepted opinion. Ramah has two opinions. So, we assume you're not kaifa on nifnei mishuras adin. We assume that that's the reason why you're not kaifa on pshara. Yeah, what's talk of the story with pshara? So the Gemara has three opinions among the Tanoim. Here, the one Tana says on the top of Amud Beis, Rav Loza ben Osher Abiyos HaGlili Yoimer, the third line from the top. Also look Tzoya. You're not allowed to make a Pshorah. Kala Batzeh HaRei Zechotei. If a Dayan makes a Pshorah, that's Kilkul Adin. You have to pass in according to the Din. You're not allowed to make a Pshorah. A Dayan is not allowed to make a Pshorah. If they didn't come to me to serve as a dying on the if they came to me for din Torah, I'm not allowed to recommend to them. Let's go for a pshara. That's ibus adin. They wanted a din, so I'm not allowed to recommend a pshara. That's what he said. We don't pass like that. That's what that Tana says. If it's someone other than the dying, that's okay. That's what the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "V'chei Moshe ha'yomer yikav adin sahar." When they came to Moshe Rabbeinu for a din Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu would only give din; he would never make any pshara. Rav Loza ben Osher Abiyos really claims that that's the case, because Moshe Rabbeinu they came to him the Torah is dying. The dying is not allowed to recommend, not allowed to bring up such a suggestion of pshara. Aval aharon, aron hakohen, oyv shalom, roidiv shalom, meisim shalom, mital machaver, shenem Torah says, etc. So he used to always recommend the pshara. I mean, he was the shegit; he did the yisur. He says also l'tzoya. So Aaron did keneged the din. So what? He was a goody-goody. He was a wonderful man, and he always did averus in order to make people happy. What? So Rashi and Tosfos say no. See the little Tosfos in quoting Rashi. They didn't come to Aaron for din Torah as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. So they went to Moshe Rabbeinu's din Torah. Aaron was an outsider. He was a stranger. So to recommend a compromise that they can recommend to go if Nimsha said din, that's okay if you're a stranger. But if they come to you and you're the dying like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he came to Moshe for a din, he's not allowed to recommend Shor. So that's the first opinion. That's Rav Lezer, the Noshe Rav Yisrael Glidi says, Oster liv dayan liv tzoya. The dying is not allowed to recommend Shor. Other Tanoim disagree, they say, Mutu liv tzoya. It's permissible. And the third Shita, in the Gemara, is Mitzvah liv tzoya. Later in the daf, around 20 lines from the top, Rabbi Shur ben Kochai, the mitzvah of Tzoya, the tiny letter Gimel. Shenema emes, umishpat shalom, shiftu b'sharech. You should judge a peaceful psak. When do you ever have a peaceful psak? There's never a peaceful psak. If a person loses a penny in a din Torah, he's never going to forgive the dying. So how do you have a peaceful psak? Mishpat shalom. So the Gemara says, Alom ha'bachim sheish mishpat ein shalom, bachim sheish shalom ein mishpat. What is mishpat shalom? How can it be mishpat the tzaka? So it's a right that it's mitzvah of tzoya. That's what it says in the Gemara. That these two psukim that seem to be referring to pshara, mishpat shalom in Zechariah, mishpat shalom refers to pshara, and mishpat the tzaka refers to pshara. These two psukim seem to indicate that it's a mitzvah of tzoya. That's how we pass. And then there's the middle shita, senishkan mitzvah, senishkan aver. Even if you approach a person, you want him to serve as a dying tishwa, psak din, according to the din, the strict letter of the law, yikav adin is ahar. But the dying is permitted to coax the baladinim, to encourage the baladinim to go for pshara. But he's not mechuyif to. He doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. But it's permissible. So these are the three opinions. Anomad Aleph, the Gemara says, "Lemi kitanoim." That's what we're up to. There is a machloekes satanoim. How large a bezin? What size bezin do you require for a pshor? Do you need a bezin of three, or is it enough one dayan? Rameir says, "Pitzua b'shloisha." The Rameir, "Chama pshor biyoch." So the Gemara says, "Savruha." The Bnei HaYeshiva thought that Lekuliyam and Makshinim Shodas, and they thought that both Rav Meir and Achachamim think that there's a hekesh between the bezin that's needed for Pshara and the bezin that's needed for Din. So my labah how come a flicker said, what's the machlekes, whether it's one or three? Machlekes must be, machshim shor idin, how many dayanim they need for a din? You say chad nami kosher, but you say a din, even in hodah salvos requires shlosha smuchim. So if you need three for a din, you need three for a pshar. If you hold one is good for a din, so one is good for a pshar. So that's the first pshat the Gemara suggests. Machlekes amen hachachamim is, that the kuli yama, they all agree, machshim shor idin. The machlekes is, how many do you need by din? Then the Gemara says, not necessarily like, you don't necessarily have to say like that. The kuli yama, you can say that everybody agrees, din b'shloisha, and shnayim shadonu is ain't the name din. And the machlekes is whether siyadi, whether machshinim shor din, or like machshinim shor din. Who says that everybody agrees machshinim shor din? And the argument is whether din is b'shloisha, din is b'chad. Maybe this goof is the machlekes, what machshinim shor din. So Rashi and Tosfos want to know machshinim. What does it mean a hekish? A hekish usually means if you have a pasuk and you have two dinim written in the pasuk, one next to the other, so you assume that there's some connection between the two. We spoke about if you have two dinim written in two pasukim that are next to each other, that's called smuchim, and that's a machloikas hatanan, where they darshan smuchim, and a chumish dvarim, everybody agrees they darshan smuchim, that's the Gemara Yevamos, and the first parak in Yevamos. And a hekish, everybody agrees that they darshan. Hekish is two dinim written in the same pasuk. Where is there a pasuk in Tanakh anywhere that has Shara written next to Din? So Rashi says, I can give you two psukim. And he gives you the two psukim from Amun Beis. Emish the mishpat shalom shifsu b'sharecha. And Vayi David Oysa mishpat b'tzok alachol amas. So the Gemara says the psukim are referring to Pshara, and they're describing Pshara with the word mishpat, or they're putting the word mishpat next to the word Pshara. That's also called the hekish. A hekish means either you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, or the pasuk is talking about one din and it uses a terminology from a different din. It's talking about a pshara and it calls a pshara by the name mishpat. That's also called a hekish. Or there's another kind of hekish that's an outright hekish. If the pasuk says A is like B, that's an outright hekish. That's mamash a hekish. It says that when a man attacks an eshesish, ki kash yokomish aliyah utzach anevish kein adov razeh, that hama'anis as eshesish is the same as murdering somebody else. That's mamash an outright hekish. The pasuk says that attacking the ma'anis and eshes ish is the same as ritzicha. That's an outright hekish. We're talking about doctor's zika hekeshim that are not, the chumash doesn't say explicitly, but the fact that it writes two dinim in the same pasuk, that's also the equivalent of saying A equals B. A should be treated the same as B. Or if the pasuk is talking about shara, and it describes it using words of din. It refers to Mishpat Shalom. I mean, Mishpat Shalom. Why is it called the Mishpat Shalom? It should be called the session of Shalom, a peaceful session, peaceful negotiations. Why do you call it Mishpat Shalom? So that's also called the Hekish. So Rashi wants to know, and Amud Aleph, Rashi wants to know, where does this come from? The Gemara's idea that there's a Hekish, Makshinam Shor Adin. Where is there a Hekish? So Rashi says, one of these took him over here on Amud Beis. So Taisus is Masik and Rashi. It can't be. Because the Gemara says, if you hold for those two psukim, that either the pasuk in Zechariah chapter Ches or the pasuk in Shmuel Beis chapter Ches are talking about pshara, then you say that it's a mitzvah to make a pshara. And these Tanoim and Amud Aleph don't hold mitzvah; they just hold mutter. They don't hold mitzvah. The one on Amud Beis is the one that says mitzvah. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha is the one that says mitzvah. But the other Tanoim, and then the first Tanoim, Rabbi Loza ben Rosh Yosef Gilu, says Isser. The dying is also left side. And then all the other Tanaim are in between. Sinishke Nisa, Sinishke Mitzvah. So Taisus doesn't know where the Hekish is. Taisus Amun Aleph. Makshinim. They say they don't know where the Hekish is. Where is there a pasuk in Tanakh where there's a Hekish between Pshara and Din that does not lead you to believe that Pshara is a Mitzvah? They don't know. So that's what the Gemara originally suggests. Savrua, the Bnei HaYeshiva thought, Savrua is usually a technical term that means that this was a Havamina that's going to be rejected. Once in a while, Tesis and other Rishonim point out, on the first Daf in Baba Basra, they do Tesis. They bam ask for Savrua, so they say once in a long while, Savrua remains Lamaskana. So it's not a Havamina that's Nitcha, but usually it's Nitcha, like over here. So Savrua, Bnei HaYeshiva thought, that the Kuliyam, everybody subscribes to the principle of Makshinim Shor Adin. So what's the machlokes? Whether pshar b'shloisha, pshar b'yochid? Whether din is b'shloisha, or din is b'yochid? Exactly the machlokes Shmuel and Rebbe Abba. And Gemara says, "Loi, You don't necessarily have to say like that. It could be the Kuli Amadin is Bishlosha. They all hold like Rabbi Abbo. The Machlokes is whether there is such a Hekesh, whether Makshinim Shoraladin. Allah Makshinim Shoraladin. Fine. Then the Gemara says, just to sum up, it would appear that there are three opinions in the Tanoim. How large a size of a bezin do you need to have a pshora? These two Tanoim argue whether three are one, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said before, Yochav Kach Apshara Mekerech Adin. So the pshara is binding. So it seems like Rav Shimon Gamliel sounds like he says that pshara needs shnayim, not one and not three, a third tana. So that's what the Gemara says. Should I say leim klosa tanaim b'pshara? Should I say there were three tanaim, whether three or one or two? Gemara says no, not necessarily. This Rav Shimon Gamliel says pshara b'shnayim. Is lav dafka like this? Said shnayim shadonu. The name din is lav dafka shnayim. Even chad nami. So when he says shnayim shosu pshara is good, even chad is also good. So why does he talk about shnayim? So the Gemara gives you an etzah taiva why shnayim. In order keich de lev alei sahadi, they should serve as witnesses. What was the Gemara's havamina to think? The havamina doesn't make any sense. How could they have had a havamina that it should be pshara b'shnayim dafka? Doesn't correspond to anything that we know. Like Tosi said, Shnayim Shadan, the name din is Lav Dafka Shnayim, Asur B'Chad Nami. So how did the Gemara have a Hamin and Lame, or should I say there are three opinions among the time, whether Pshar is one or three, this is the Irish, or two? Where would you get to? The Gemara rejects the Havamina, but how could there be such a Hamin? So there's a famous explanation that appears that the Chassidish is safer on Sanhedrin, but Tzapkojin it's a Rebbe, I think. It's called Sanhedrin Tana. Probably he's into it. He has a harifus over here. I think about salvation, he may have said it all. So he has a harifus. He says the Gemara earlier on Gimel and Beis has harifus on the homestead. But over here, it's a good taicha on the Havamina. The Gemara before had a machlokes between Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonasan. How did you establish the principle that a bezin for gzeilus v'chavolus has to be shloshes smuchim? So one Tana says it says three times Elohim, and the other Tana says it says two times Elohim, and we have a rule, ein bezin shokul. What does the other one hold? Ein bezin shokul only applies to nefesh, it doesn't apply to mammonis. It's an inyan of the hitzilah ha'edarashi. Okay, that is the whole Gemara that we learned on Gimel and Beis. So this so the Kozhin says over here on Davov, he says there's a Tesis over here, which is quoted in Halacha Maaseh, Bitzua. Tesis says that you don't follow Roiv in a Pshara. If you have a Din Torah where the Baladinim are going for Din, not for Pshara, so we're all trying to figure out what is the Din. So if two Dayanim say in one direction, the third Dayan says in the other direction, so it's a Machlokes, they're all trying to guess what the Din is. So you go Basar Roiv and you assume, yeah, the 2-1, that is the Din. Acharav Mahatas. What if the Baal HaDinim agreed for a Pshara? So Pshara means you're paskining what Yosha dictates. My Malach HaMachshava, from my perspective, Yosha dictates like this. From the other guy's perspective, Yosha dictates like that. You can have three different opinions and no one is wrong. His Yosha dictates Ahin and his Yosha dictates Ahem. You can have different perspectives. So Tosis says they don't really prove it from Avodah Zarah. It's a smachta from El Gemara. So they, in Shulchan Aruch we pass them like this thesis, that you don't go bus arrive in a Din Torah pshara. I remember I once was involved in a Din Torah and the parties agreed to pshara because we say mitzvah. We pass the mitzvah of Tzoyah. Because it's going to be a mishpat shalom, supposedly. Supposedly, if a dayan is going to pass in a pshara, everyone is going to be happy. Halavai, that should be the case. Then in Shulchan Aruch they quote an additional reason why we always go for Pshara Bizman is that because we're not that learned and we know that we may make a mistake in the Din. So we always tell them in advance, we don't want to Paskin Din. It's already several centuries that we, Dayanim, have been avoiding Paskining Din because we're afraid we're probably going to make a mistake. Let's have everybody agree to Pshara. Okay. So these parties agreed to Pshara. And one of the Dayanim was a professional hacker. He was a professional towing. And he was saying crazy things that I thought were ridiculous, and he convinced the other Dayan that he should go along with him. So I started to argue with him. So he said, well, you're outvoted anyway. So I started screaming at him, you can't outvote me. The Din is in Shulchan Aruch, that you don't go bust the rush. So the guy was such an Amar, this professional time, he didn't know anything from the Shulchan Aruch. So he said, where does it say that? So the other Dayan was a Talmid Chacham. He said, of course it says that. You don't know that. The Beferish it did. So I said, I'm going to paralyze the Bezin. You're not going to, you can't outvote me. The Psak is only going to come if I'm going to agree. So the guy was very shaken up. And then I started to present what I thought was the correct approach. And I started to quote something from the Sri Deyesh. So this professional guy says, who's the Sri Deyesh? So the other guy said, what do you mean? You never heard of the Sri Deyesh? So he finally realized what an Amoritz he was dealing with. So I negotiated long enough until the other Dayan agreed with me. And the third guy saw, he's not going to get away with anything. So we all agreed. So the din is that Mshara, especially says like that, Mshara you don't go Basur, right? Unless the three Dayanim made up in advance, unless the Baladinim said they want to go Basur, right? So sometimes you'll never get the unanimous agreement, unless the Dayanim made up in advance that they're going to follow up. But otherwise you don't. So that's what it says in this Sefer Sanhedrin Tam. He says, according to the opinion on Gimel Amid Beis, that the Psukim only say twice Elohim, and the need for the third Dayan is only because they're in Bez and Shokol in order to have a Hachroah. So then if Makshinam Pshara Ledin, maybe it should lead you to believe that a Pshara only needs two Dayanim. And you can't apply the Klal of in Bez and Shokol because the Halacha says you're not going to go Basarayif by a Pshara. So there's no need for the third Dayan. So maybe that was the Havamin in the Gemara, that there are three opinions. Maybe that's the Havamin. The Matkana, the Gemara rejects it. We know why the Gemara rejects it. Because la halacha, we say ein bezin shokel even by a bezin by chalitza, even by a bezin by medidas egla rufa, even by a bezin by smichas pachal nevesh al tiber. That Tosfos points out there in mitzvus chalitza, and we showing him here. The Yad Rama points out they're not paskening anything; they're just doing they're supervising the chalitza, or they're doing the smicha on the pachal nevesh al tiber. So the halacha has accepted this klal of ein bezin shokel even in areas where there's no issue of hakro whatsoever. You still require a bezin noita. So maybe that's why the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says no, there cannot be. There isn't such an opinion that pshara bishnayim. But we can understand that there should have been a havamina like that. It's not bad for a havamina. The pshara bishnayim based on that tana that it really only says twice elohim. Who's that? Rabbi Yonason says it only says twice elohim. And in Pshara, you don't go Basar. The Ran has a Pshat. Bezen Chasuf. Yeah, he says Chasuf doesn't mean Chutzpah, they're exposed. Everybody will know who says what. Because you have to have a unanimous vote anyway. Okay. Same thing. Right. So a couple of years after that din Torah, someone else wanted to have a din Torah. So someone called me up on the phone. They wanted to know. Usually the meaning is that the one Balvin picks one Dayan, the other Balvin picks another Dayan, and then the two Dayan pick the third Dayan. So one Balvin called me up. He said, "Can you use me as a Dayan?" So I said, "Okay." Then they told the other Baldin that this Baldin picked Shechta. So he said, Shechta, oh no. He's not going to get involved. He had enough trouble for me. So there never was a Din Torah. Because there was nothing. I didn't know what the case was. The Din Torah never took place. Because the other Baldin was only looking for a criminal rabbi who'll falsify the Din. So he didn't succeed. Because the guy was afraid to stop. We discussed the other day, a long time ago, I think we discussed the first day when we just started the Masechta, we discussed why is the psak of the Bezin binding? Why is the psak binding? Because that's what it says in the Halacha. The Torah says that they decide to pay. You come to a Bezin, they pass them what the din is. Why is the psak of a Pshara binding? So we explained, based on the Beis Yosef, it quotes the Tshuva Sarash, it's also a psak of a Bezin. There's a psak of din, and there's a psak of lefnim yishuras adin. A psak of the bezin is binding. In this case, you didn't have to agree in the first place. You didn't have to submit yourself to a bezin that's going to pass in yosher. Sure, if you would insist, you would have the right to insist that you want to have dafkid, then you don't want to agree to pshara. But once you agreed to pshara, and the bezin had a right to pass in, and they issued a psak, so the psak is binding like any psak of any bezin. the psak is binding. So lechayre, you shouldn't require a kabbalah's kinyan. Let's say you come to a bezden and they pass in what the din is. Strictly speaking, they say chosh mishpat. The case is discussed, and the final conclusion is X, Y, Z. That's the din. So you, the psak is only binding if they make a kabbalah's kinyan. What you don't need a kabbalah's kinyan. The psak of the bezden is binding. So the Gemara raises the question: does a pshara require a kinyan? Why is, let's say, you made a pshara, and the din should have been that you're pater, and the pshara is that you have to pay part or whatever. The pshara is that you have to pay some money. So what makes that psak binding? Is it because the psak is binding? The psak is binding. You don't need a kabbalah's kinyan. Or should you say no? It's like a hischayvus midas. What if I say I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000 just out of the clear blue sky? So if I give you the money, it's fine. What if I change my mind before I give you the money? So most of the Rishonim assume you can always back out unless you made a kinyan. The Rambam stands alone. The Rambam says that if a person says, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000, he's mechuyav to give him $1,000, he can't back out. And Tosfos holds not so. Tosfos says there is no such thing. In fact, the Tosfos and Siman Mem sounded so surprising. The Mechaber quotes the Rambam. So the Tzitz found it so surprising. He said it can't be. The Rambam never said it, and he denies it, and he reinterprets the Rambam. Truth of the matter is, the Rambam said it, but that's not the accepted opinion. We accept like Tzitz that if a person promises to give money, and then later on he changes his mind, says, "Kol zman, they didn't make a kabbalah's kinyan, so you can always back out." What constitutes a kinyan? So either make a kinyan suder, means if I say I obligate myself to give you $1,000. If you'll give me a handkerchief, a ballpoint pen, a pair of glasses, whatever, your key, your car keys or something, you'll give me something. So I say, by my accepting this, I obligate myself to give you $1,000. So that's a kabbalah's kinyan. Or you can have another kinyan would be if I write, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000 and I sign it and I give you the piece of paper. So that's chayv ani lachmana bishtar. That's in Sudazav Kubeis, Kubeis Imran, Machlek Zer, Rabbi Yechanan Vishlokish, and we pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Usually talks like Rabbi Yechanan, that if you write, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1,000 and I sign my name and I give it to you, so the shtar can create his chayv. So that's al pi pashtus, but the Gemara, the issue that the Gemara raises here, does pshara need a kinyan, or does pshara not need a kinyan? It needs to be binding. When the bezin issues a psak, they say, we think that Yosha dictates, the unanimous agreement that the bezin is Yosha dictates you should give him $150. Then the guy says, I don't want to give. You say it's only Yosha, it's not the din, I don't want to give. So what makes it legally binding that he has to give? You say it's a psak, that's why it's binding? That's what the Tshuva Sarosh says. But he say, no. It's like in a clear blue sky. I say, hey, I have made myself to give you $1,000. The Tosfos says, you don't have to pay them. You can always change your mind unless he made a kinyan. Once he made a kinyan suit, if he gives me a handkerchief, and I say, but am I accepting the handkerchief? I accept upon myself an obligation to give you the money, then it's legally binding, you can't back out. We made a kinyan. So that's what the Gemara raises the question over here. Does Pshara need a kinyan? Or does Pshara not need a kinyan? So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Ashi, I have a proof from this Tosefta, from this Braisa, that Pshara ain't a tzricha kinyan. Pshara does not need a kinyan. Why? If you need a kinyan suited that it should be binding, it's really his chayvus midas. It's not that the psak is binding like there's a psak of din and a psak of yosha, a psak of esnimishuas adin. The fact akasha, if it's his chayvus midas, so how can you give rules and regulations that you need a beznav shloisha for pshara? But you need a beznav shloisha? A yochid is also good. If they made a kabbalah's kinyan, if they made a kinyan, so the kinyan is binding? He says, Lamanda Matzvicha Kalosa, there was a Tana who said that you need three for a pshore. Is what do you need? What do you need the three? Lamale, tis gibitray the litnimine. Let it be enough with one, let it be enough with two. One is not a smart idea because they rechot. So you want to have two witnesses who are going to testify that it made a kabbalah kinyan. So have two dayonim, and the two dayonim will serve as the witnesses that the guy made the kabbalah kinyan. So that's exactly the deal. Sounds like that is the issue that Rav Ashi raised over here. What is the binding force of a pshara? Is it because it's a hischayvus midas out of the goodness of his heart? He promises to pay this money, even though he's legally not obligated. He say no. The psak is mechayvus. So the hilchasha pshara tzricha kinyan. You do need a kinyan for pshara, despite the fact that we say that you need shloisha. So how does it jive? First, the Gemara thought it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to require shloisha if you're going to say it's his chayvus nidas. It's not a psak of a bezin. So why should you say makshinim pshor ledin? Why should you say nitri? It's not a psak. So the Gemara says no. The answer is makshinim pshor ledin. The psak is a psak of a bezin, and there's an isa shoychad on the din Torah of pshara, and there's an isa lasata mishpat, and there's a din of toibet by mishnah. Let's say the bezin issued a psak of pshara. And it's absolutely cockeyed. Everybody who hears it says that it's utterly ridiculous. So Rabbi Kivega quotes Tachronim that there's a concept of Toya Bedvar Mishnah and a Pshara also. That's usually what happens. When you have a Din Torah, they always encourage the Baladinim to read the Pshara. And then the Bezin breaks their head and they come to a conclusion that they think is a Yoshadik. And then they get some other rabbi for a few dollars, I'll write a document that says that the Toya Bedvar Mishnah, that the Pshara was utterly ridiculous, and it's not binding us. Rabbi Kivega quotes from Nachmanim that a Toy Ben Mishnah is chayzer even in a Pshara. Yeah. So this is the question in the Gemara. If the Gemara comes to the conclusion you need three, Pshara needs three, even according to the Tana who says you need three, you still need a Kinyan. So how does that jive? If you need three, that means that it's a korach bezin, that the bezin is paskening it. Bezin is giving a psak of lifnim shura sadin. So what do you need the kinyan for? Doesn't the fact that you need the kinyan, hilchus pshara tzricha kinyan, the fact that you need a kinyan does not mean that it's a hischavis midas. So that's what Taisus asks. So Taisus says, hilchus v'odlo sagi b'treim shem nalik mo kinyan b'toz d'lo b'ki b'pshara shapin. The Taisa says, well, that's why you need three. Yeah, but if you have three, why do you need a Kinyan? Why do you need a Kinyan? So the next Taisa explains. Well, we're going to have to read the next Taisa, the long one. The Taisa explains you need the Kinyan because you can't force a Pshara on either party. You can only have a Din Torah of Yosher, a Din Torah Pshara, if the both parties agree. So the Kinyan is needed not so much to create the Hizchaivis Midas. No, it's going to be Mechui V'yoymid because of the Pshaka Bezin. The Pshaka Bezin makes it binding. But the question is, who authorized this Bezin? You only have a right to issue a Pshaka Pshar if the both parties agree. So just an oral agreement maybe is not sufficient. We can say later on that it was a Haskama B'toyes. The Baal Din didn't realize what he's getting himself into. There was an issue of a few million dollars involved in a business deal. And he thought they're going to make a pshar that's going to be chach reasonable. Then they give a pshar that, to his mind, is totally unreasonable. So he can turn it later on. If I would have known they're going to give such a pshar, I would never have agreed to pshar. I would have insisted on din, and I would have won. So in order that he shouldn't be able to turn it later on, that his agreement to pshar was betorah. Once the bezin passes, that's the psa. But he has the right to say, he can always claim later on, they fooled me into agreeing to pshara. I never thought that I was going to lose so much money. So it may turn out later that the haskama that he granted to establish the bezin for pshara was haskama b'toyes. So to be mechazik his da'at, to demonstrate that it's b'leif shalom that he's masking to the pshara, that's why we do a kinyan sudur. That's what Taisus writes over here. That's why we do the kinyan sudur. Taisus discusses when is the kinyan. No, Taisus says before they even begin. Before they even begin. Yeah. You see, there's a famous Rambam in Hilchas Mechira. The Rambam writes there are various kinyanim for karka from the Talmud, different kinyanim for karka, different kinyanim from the Talmud, and then the Rambam talks about kinyan suder. Kinyan suder works for karka and for the Talmud for both. And then the Rambam says there are some things, Yesham Dorim, there are some things that don't require any kinyanim at all. And he says the kinyan doesn't even have any effect. It doesn't play a role at all. Let's say a man appoints a shliach to deliver a get to his wife. So does the husband have to make a kinyan suited with the shliach? He makes a mina shlichus. What is he appointing him? I asked the rabbi to sell the chametz for me. I'm not selling the chametz to the rabbi. If I'm selling the chametz to the rabbi, so the rabbi makes a kinyan suda. So he gives me his handkerchief, and I say, by my accepting handkerchief, the chametz now belongs to you. That would be fine, but I'm not selling the chametz to the rabbi. I'm appointing the rabbi as a shliach to sell the chametz to the nochri. So the minig is all over that the rabbi gives a handkerchief, or he gives the bottom of his kapotah, He gives a part of his jacket to the balabas to make a kinyan suitor to be kind of the authorization to act like a shliach. And the minig is, when you give a get, the shliach, the Rambam records, an old minig from earlier than the days of the Rambam, the minig is when a man appoints a shliach to give a get to his wife, so the shliach gives a suitor to the husband. The husband says, by my accepting the handkerchief, I hereby give you the power to serve as my shliach. So the Rambam says, that's nonsense. Well, Yesham Dvarim Sheinat Zichin Kinyan, Ein LeKinyan Bahem Tam. He says there are some things that don't require a Kinyan suitor, and even if you do the Kinyan suitor, it doesn't affect any change whatsoever. This is the end of Perikei in Hilchas Mechira. Halacha Yud Aleph, Yesh Dvarim Harbei, Sheinat Zichin Kinyan, Ein LeKinyan Bahem Tam. It doesn't play a role at all. Kavol Hamashachar Estavda, a man freezes Eved Tanan, he gives the Eved Tanan, Yeshtar Shichur. So the Eved should give the Odin a handkerchief and say, the Odin says, by my accepting a handkerchief, I give you freedom. What do you mean? You can't be Meshach and Eved with a handkerchief. Meshach and Eved with a Shtashich. Hamagarish is Ishtoi. Ha'osa Shaliach, Ha'osa Maidah, Ha'mabaka Maidah, Ha'mechal Ha'chalei Ha'chov. L'chila in a Tzvich HaKinyan, that's a long Tesis, has six riots. This Tesis proves la'alocha that a Mechila does need a Kinyan. Somebody owes me $100 and I say, I'm Meichel. Then tomorrow I get into a fight with him, I say, I want the money. And he says, but you were Michael yesterday. I say, I revoked my Mechila. So Taisa says, even though no Kinyan was done yesterday when he was Michael, Mechila does need a Kinyan. That's what Rambam also told. Mechila, all the Rishonim assume. Mechila does need a Kinyan. Taisa works hard, they bring six riots to prove that this is so. Mechila doesn't require a Kinyan. So the Rambam says, despite that, the Chen Kokayetz B'Dwarim El. The Rambam says, the Yesham Dwarim have there are many things that don't require any Kinyan. However, Aloch Yodeis, no gurov hamakomos, this is a very widespread minig, lahaknos, yet to make a kinyan suda, lamikta seila adorm, to some of them. So we do this all the time. When you make a shliach from Mechira Chameitz, the rabbi makes a kinyan suda with the balabos. Or when you make a shliach, when the husband divorces his wife in person, he doesn't make any kinyan suda. But when the husband authorizes a shliach to deliver the get to the wife, so the meaning is like by Mechiras Chametz, that the shliach gives a handkerchief to the husband, in exchange for which the husband gives over the power of shlichus. So the Rambam says it's meaningless. It's nonsensical. So that's what they quote, that the Chazon Ish never used to do the Kabbalah Kinyan. When he would ask the rabbi to sell the chametz to him, he says, it's a minig shtus. The Rambam says it's a minig shtus. So he never bothered to do the minig of Kabbalah Kinyan Surah. A minig is only binding if it makes sense, if it fits into halach. The Rambam says ridiculous that you don't do it. And on the other hand, Rav Soloveitchik was very medactic, that you always have to make the kinyan suitor, because the Rambam farem is the minig. First, the Rambam says that it doesn't make any sense, but then he says, first, halach Rav says it doesn't make any sense. Then he says, the minig berov ham promises that you make a kinyan, afal pishein et tzorech. And then he says, halach yagimel, he makes sense out of it. Doesn't take effect at all. Elo, but why do they do it? Lahodia, Shein Oim Advar Meiluk in Mesachek Umahatel. He's not kidding around, he's not joking around. The man asked the rabbi to sell the chomer to him. No, nothing. Today the meaning is that you sign on the Star HaShor. So that's a little better. But let's say there wouldn't be a star show. Just says, Balfair, Rabbi, don't forget when you sell the chametz, don't forget to sell my chametz. Goodbye. Calls him up on the phone. Don't forget to sell my chametz. Very flimsy. Very flimsy. Or the man authorizes a shliach. I say, I'm busy. I have no time for this narishkeit. I tell you what, you see to it that I write a get, sign a get, and deliver a get to my wife. Goodbye. And he walks away. Such a serious thing, divorcing your wife. And he just tells the shliach goodbye. So we want to make it a little more mamash is this, to demonstrate that it's not misachik or mahatel, and shagoma beliba v'acha kachoma, that he really needs a l'ficha, so that's why we make a kinyan suda, to demonstrate that it's b'leik sholem, that therefore the Rambam writes l'ficha, what if the balabas tells the rabbi, I want you to sell a chomet for me, and I'm appointing you a shliach, b'leik sholem ani yayim adar azeh. So then the Rambam says, then it's a minik shtus to make a kinyan suda. Then there's no need for a king to do that, want to accomplish anything. But if he doesn't say b'leif shalom, l'fichach the Rambam says, "Mama b'leif shalom ani amarti b'kamarti lasa davar zeh ein tzorach davar achar klal." Then there's no room for the minig either. Then you don't need the minig either. But the minig does make sense. The Rambam knocks sense into it. The minig does make sense to make a kinyan suder to demonstrate that he's doing this for Leib Shabbos. So that's what basically Tosfos says over here also. That really, Mechila, really, Pshara ain't a Tzvicha Kinyan. The binding force of the Pshara is because it's a Psak Bezin. There's a Psak and Din, and there's another Psak on Lefnei Mishur HaSadin. The Bezin cannot force it down your throat. They cannot pressure them into agreeing to a Pshara. They have to try to encourage them. It's a mitzvah of Tzaya. But Bal Korchem, they can't do it. So if they both agree, then it's a good pshara. So the Gemara says, but we insist they should make a Kenyan Suder to demonstrate that they're agreeing to the pshara b'leif shalmas. Not that the Kenyan Suder is the binding force of the pshara. And without the Kenyan is like a chayvus midas, like I say, chayv ani lachmana bishtar, like if I make a kabbalas Kenyan to pay you $1,000 out of the clear blue sky. No, here the binding force is the psak of the bezdim. But the Bezdin had no right to be convened without the Haskam of the Baal HaDinim, and we need a Kenyan Suder to demonstrate that it's Baleif Shalom. This is an interesting thing. Why only Kenyan Suder? Was this a mystical concept, Kabbalah? Why is only Kenyan Suder represents Baleif Shalom? Both by the Shliach Leget, and by the Get, and by the Shliach and Mechirat Chametz, and by the Pshara. It's all over the place, the Kenyan Suder. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. Maybe we'll dwell a little more tomorrow. He explained that the Rambam seems to hold, the Halacha says that Kinyani Karka don't work on the Taltam, and Kinyani Taltam don't work on Karka. The one and only exception to the rule is Suder. Suder works both on Karka and the Taltam. How come it works on both? So the Rishonim said, because the Pasuk says in Megillas Ruos, L'kayim Kol Dover. It works on anything and everything. L'kayim Kol Dover. So how do you explain that? If there's a halacha was nemer, the Gemara Gittin says if you have an otzitz nokuv, a flower pot that has a hole in the bottom, so it's yoni from the ground, so whatever grows inside is dina kikarta. If it's an otzitz shein nokuv, it has no hole in the bottom, so it's dina kimetaltim. So the Gemara says if you make a kinyan hagbor, it's only good if it's dina kimetaltim. Dina kikarta is no good. If you make a kinyan hazok, you'll dig around and help it rochak baputi, help it grow a little bit. So the long bikkun if it's dinik in karka, if it's dinik in metalkum, it's no good. So the Pnei Yeshuah, it's the exact same flower pot. What's the difference? Whether it has a hole or doesn't have a hole? You picked it up, you made a hagbo. So he says, the Nesivus quotes the Pnei Yeshuah, you see from the simple reading in the Gemara, kach nemar halacha, kinyani karka don't work on metalkum, kinyani metalkum don't work on karka, even though you're accomplishing exactly the same. If you dig in the flower pot, whether it does have a hole, doesn't have a hole, you're helping the stuff grow. And if you pick it up, you're making hagbo, whether it has a hole, doesn't have a hole. That's the halacha. The kinyani karka don't work on the top, and kinyani talpa don't work on karka. So the one and only exception to the rule is suda. Hakram. That's where Rav Chaim explained that suda basically is just a demonstration of gemiras das. And once you have a strong demonstration of gemiras das, so then the kinyan takes effect without any ma'isa kinyan. So that's why Tosfos and the Rambam say that sometimes kinyan suda is necessary just to demonstrate that he has a gemiras das. Not that the Kenyan clinches, not that the Suda clinches the Kenyan. You don't need a Kenyan over here. The Psak is what makes it binding, but you need a Kenyan Suda to demonstrate B'leif Sholein that he has a full Gemira's Das, he's in agreement to make the Pshar. Okay, so maybe tomorrow we'll. Oh, tomorrow's Thursday? Tomorrow's Thursday. People want to start learning the Mishnah Brura? Hilchos Birchas HaPeres? How many people want to go for Mishnah Brura? Okay, maybe we'll try Mishnah Brura tomorrow, and then if you don't like it, so we'll switch back to Parshas HaShavua. On Sunday, I think I'll say a shir. There's an unveiling for one of the Musmachim who died a couple of months ago. I'm not sure if I'm going to go to the unveiling. So I'll know on Sunday morning. Maybe I'll know tomorrow. Okay. I'm stopping shir early because it's Rabbi Einstatter asked me to help him in the base marriage. Okay, so you can daven mincha.